I'd like you to turn your Bibles open to that portion that we were singing about shortly, and that is the famous Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm number 23. The Psalm number 23, and let's read it prayerfully and carefully. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And may the Lord bless our hearts this reading from his own infallible and inspired word. Let's just bow together in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we come before Thee today in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank Thee for the promise that He gave that He would never leave us nor forsake us. And so, our Father, we praise Thee that in our happy days Thou art there to help us rejoice in Thee, and in our sad days Thou hast also told us that Thou wilt be there. And Father, we pray in this day that Thou would draw near, that Thou would bind up the brokenhearted, that Thou would bless those who mourn. And so, our God, we commend the Saunders family to Thee, and we pray for Thy touch upon them, and grant, O God, that Thou would truly bless them with that blessing that maketh rich and addeth no further sorrow. Our Father, we thank Thee also for the 35 years of Thy faithful blessing upon this congregation. We remember, Lord, those days when every man's hand was against us. But our Father, we praise Thee that we can say with Paul, we continue to this day witnessing both the small and great, none other things than those which the prophets have said would come. And Father, we thank Thee we have a message, the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, our Father, for every soul here who knows the Lord. Oh God, we pray in this day of sadness that Thou would comfort them. For every soul here who has never come to Thee, may they realize that they never know what a day may bring forth, that Thou hast told us it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And Father, we pray that those who know not the Lord would seriously consider their latter end, and even today call upon the name of the Lord. Be with us now, we pray. Close us in with Thyself. Defeat every stratagem of the wicked one to steal the blessing away. And Father, bless every soul, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Psalms is one of the greatest jewels in the Christian church. And it's one of the last books in the Bible we would give up if we had to make a choice. John Calvin said that the book of Psalms was the anatomy of all parts of the soul. So no matter whether you're in a happy condition or a sad condition or suffering or sorrowing, there's something there in the book of Psalms to encourage you along the way. Martin Luther said that the book of Psalms was the book of all saints. So no matter what your problem may be, you'll find something in Psalms that will be an encouragement. Now, the individual Psalms, they vie with each other in splendor, in richness, and in value. And here in this area that we read this morning, we have a rare cluster of the Psalms with our tremendous encouragement. Psalm 22 is the Psalm of the suffering Savior. It is the one that tells us of the coming of the Lord and that great cry of sorrow that He gave, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Psalm 22 is the Psalm of the suffering Savior. Psalm 24 is the psalm of the sovereign Savior, because it is the one that tells us, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ after his ascension, at his ascension, going back to glory. And out from the battlements of heaven comes the question, who is this King of glory? And the answer, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. It is the Lord as the sovereign going back to heaven. And sandwiched between the suffering and the sovereign Savior is this little gem 23, which of course you know as the shepherding Savior. Now, Henry Ward Beecher said, this psalm is a nightingale, and it has filled the whole world with its melodious joy, and has charmed more griefs than all the philosophy of the world. And that is a true statement. And tonight or today, I want to just look at the hub of this psalm. You can guess that already. Verse number 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rods and thy staff, they comfort me. The first thing I want to highlight here is the valley and its terrors, just focusing on that word death. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is a thoroughly unpleasant subject to discuss. It is a morbid subject. It is the last great enemy that any of us will face on earth. And few of us like to deal and to dwell on the matter of death, and especially with regard to our own death that surely is coming, because just like Howard passed away this morning, someday we'll be mourning over the deaths of others, but every one of us are going to die except the Lord comes or calls beforehand. For many people, and I've met some people, the idea of death and the prospect of death is frightening. And that's why they don't want to talk about it. Louis XIV of France, he banned the very word from his court because he could not bear to think of the fact that someday he would die. And I've met people in my own experience who are frightened at the very prospect that they have to die. But now, once again, death has been impressed upon our hearts, the sudden taking away of our dear brother, Howard. And then, not only that, but Kay McKercher just earlier at the beginning of the year, and Bert Oatley Willis, who was with us for so many years, ushered into the presence of the Lord this year. So we have been reminded continually of death. And again, just think of the young girl murdered out there off the 401, the young fellow who threw himself off the bridge out there, the plane crash in Nevada that killed 9 people spectating those races in Reno. And when we travel, no matter where you travel, you're going to see graveyards. And these graveyards are a reminder to us continually that we're going to die. But then that raises the question, how do we get to the situation? How do we come to the situation that people are dying? And for that, you've got to go to the Bible. You will not get the answer in the philosopher. You will not get the answer in the evolutionist. You've got to go to the Bible, and the Bible will tell you that there, at the very beginning, God gave a command to Adam and to Eve regarding the forbidden fruit, that thou shalt not take of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And they did sin against God. They disobeyed God's command, and they died, not physically, they died spiritually. They died to God. The physical death would come later. And because Adam and Eve died in sin, so you and I, we are also born in sin and shaped in iniquity, and therefore every one of us are going to have to die. But in that early portion of Genesis, you will notice that Adam and Eve tried unsuccessfully to cover themselves with coats made with fig leaves, and they didn't work. But then the Lord, in his great mercy, he was the one that was sinned against, in his great mercy, he made them coats of skins. Now, he could have made them coats of wool. that one quite easy. He could have shaved the wool off the sheep and made them nice wool coats, but he didn't do that. He made them coats of skins. And you can take the wool off a sheep and the sheep lives, but you can't take the skin off the sheep and the sheep will live. So you're dealing here with the death of those animals. And in that, the Lord was teaching a lesson, and that was the lesson of the substitute sacrifice. Those creatures, they didn't sin against God. It was Adam and Eve that sinned. But they died as a substitute in the place of Adam and Eve, and they also shed their precious blood as a sacrifice for the sins of our first parents. And so the Lord has shown us that at the beginning of Genesis, it starts off with the introduction of life. And you look at the very last verse of Genesis, they have Joseph in a casket. Starts with life and finishes with death. And so death is a reality, because the Bible tells in Romans chapter 5 that as by one man, that's Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So all of us have sinned. My father used to tell me a story as a boy. I'd never forgotten it. He told about a minister walking along a country road in Northern Ireland, and he came along an old tramp or a hobo that was lying down in the ditch there, just doing nothing. And as the minister came along, he got him into conversation and spoke to him, asked him how he was doing. He says, "Well, things are not very good. Life's hard for me," he said. "And it's all because of Adam." He says, "If Adam had not sinned in the garden, I would not be in the state that I'm in right now." So the minister says, "Are you hungry?" And he says, "Yes, I'm hungry. I have no food." So the minister says, "Well, why don't you come with me down to my house, and we'll get you some food." So he brought him down into the house, and he spoke to his wife, and he said, "Dear, would you put on the very best meal that you can for him? Get out the very best dishes, get out the silverware and so on, and make it as nice as possible." So she laid the table and got the man in there and set him down and told him, the minister told him, "Look, all the food that's here, you can take it. But you see that silver vessel in the middle with a bowl top on it? Don't touch that. But all the rest you can take." And so then the minister excused himself, and the old boy began to take his meal. And then the minister, after a little while, came back in. And there was a budgerigar flying around the room. And you see that was under the silver thing. And he was told, "Don't touch it." So the minister then told him, "You blamed Adam, and I gave you a command not to touch that. And you did exactly the same thing as Adam did. So you can't blame Adam, because all of us are sinners in the sight of a holy God." The Bible also teaches us of the certainty of death. Death is coming because it's appointed by God. It tells us there in the book of Hebrews that after death cometh the judgment appointed unto men that wants to die. And so we're all going to die. It is also the wages of sin, Romans chapter 6 and 23, which says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So the death there is over against eternal life. So it's not just physical death, it's eternal death. Now, we live right now physical death. We were born dead in sins, and if we do not change, then we will experience eternal death, which is eternal separation from God for all eternity. And death also is something that's absolutely irresistible. We live in the day of great medical advancements, but they have never stopped the death of one person yet. And we have the instinct of self-preservation. When the angel of death comes to deal with us and to take us across the border into the next life, we can't stop him, because death is absolutely irresistible. How we would have liked on Friday night when we first saw Howard, how we would have liked to be able to see him come out of that coma he was in and resume life. But you see, when death comes, it cannot be stopped. It's a certainty. And then there's here the solitude of death, because David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not that yea, though we walk, it's I walk. And every one of us, we die. And we have to face it ourselves up to death. Like the family of Howard, they gave him all the help and encouragement that they could. But when the moment came for the last heartbeat and the last breath, it was impossible, because they couldn't halt the advancement of the angel of death. And so it's something that cannot be stopped, and we have to face it alone. When the moment came at 7 o'clock this morning, Howard alone was called into the presence of the Lord. And the day will come when the angel will come for you, and alone you're going to have to go and meet him. And are you ready? Because death is a single experience. Birth is a single experience. Death is a single experience. And Joshua said, or the Lord said to Joshua, ye have not come this way heretofore. None of us have died before. We will die someday. So we have this valley here and its terrors. But then let's consider the Christian and his journey. Because it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, when you're studying the Bible, always keep in mind that we believe in verbal inspiration. That means that every word of God is pure. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So the whole of the Bible is inspired by God, even down, as Jesus said, to the jot and the tittle. The jot and the tittle, the smallest letter in the Greek alphabet, or the Hebrew alphabet, and also the smallest distinguishing mark. So right down to that we study this Bible and we believe in verbal inspiration. And you'll find it even in the word of our present-day life here. You go to send an email to somebody, and you put a dot where you put a comma where there should be a dot. The message won't work. Has to be right. I remember a man writing an article and saying in the article, Miss So-and-so will not go to Bible school. But it should have been, will now go. Miss So-and-so will now go. And the transposition of a T for a W altered the meaning altogether. So the Bible we have here is a Bible that is verbally inspired. And therefore, when you come to study it, you just don't read quickly through it, but you go through it word by word. It's a profitable study just to think the Lord and to dwell on that, the Lord. The Lord is, that he is alive. The Lord is a shepherd. Think of the shepherd of the sheep of God. The Lord is my shepherd, and then I shall not want. You can go through that verse by verse and line by line and word by word, and what a blessing it brings. Do the same here in verse 4, and you'll find that it will bring a blessing to us. First of all, you come face to face with a Christian. Yea, though I walk. Now, Matthew Henry, the great commentator, said that we should pray every day for grace for our last day and our last moment of time, so we're ready to meet that day. So the psalmist says, yea, though I walk, not yea, though he walks, or yea, though she walks, yea, though I walk. It's only the Christian, born again of the Spirit of God, who is able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd today? Can you take great comfort in the fact that you know him and that he's leading you through this life and on towards heaven? Then you've got the calmness. It says, yea, though I walk. It doesn't say run. Where I lived as a boy, it was near a mental hospital called Purdiesburn. Some of these people here will know where Purdiesburn is. And when I got off the bus on a winter evening, coming from school in Belfast as a boy, maybe 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, got off the bus there and there were some lights in the main road. I had a walk from there about a mile down a little country road to our farm. And the first thing that I had to meet was a morgue, because the side of the road was a morgue where they put the people in the mental hospital who had died. And that's not a very pleasant place. And I used to go down there and look over this place, walking past it, and then I'd hear a noise. As soon as I heard a noise, I ran as quick as I could down that road. So whatever it was that made the noise, it might have been a person, it might have been a rat or something, whatever it was, I was getting away. I ran because I was frightened. I was fearful. But the psalmist says, yea, though I walk, don't have to run. For the believer, there's nothing to worry about because the Lord is with us and he leads us safely through the valley of the shadow. And for the death of the Christian, it is calm. I was telling the Bible class this morning that John and Charles Wesley said to each other, I'm not sure which one said that to the other, but said, to our people, die well. And that's a fact, because they're ready for the journey and they're looking forward to being going home to be with the Lord. Then you've got the completeness, because it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So what does that tell us? That tells us there is a going into the valley, but there's also a coming out of the valley. There's a beginning and there's an ending. And so there is the completeness there of our journey, because this morning, the door of earth closed on Howard's earthly existence. But the door of heaven and glory opened to him. And right now, he's not unhappy. He is joyful in the extreme, because he's been ushered into the presence of the Savior he served for so long. Then you've got the contentment, because it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow. Now, a mountain is wild and bare. It is a place of storms and so on. But the valley speaks of a place of shelter and of calm. And so we can sing, as the hymn tells us, there's a light now for me in the valley of death since Jesus came into my heart. And so when we're called into the presence of God, as Howard was, we need fear no ill, because the Lord is there to take us. And he, the light of the world, is the light in the valley of death for every child of God. Then there's a curtailment, because it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. The word shadow. So death is only a shadow of its former self. It is a great enemy that we all face, that we're fearful about, but it's only a shadow. You're not afraid of the shadow of a dog, because a shadow of a dog can't bite you. You're not afraid of the shadow of a serpent, because a serpent can't sting you. And the Lord has taken himself by his own death on the cross. He has taken the sting out of death, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the sting is removed. So Paul cries out, O death, where is thy sting? Where, grave, thy victory? And Henry Francis Lightham's great hymn adds the words, O death, where is thy sting, and where is thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. And so today the child of God knows that death is curtailed, the sting has been removed. You're not afraid of a wasp, it has no sting. You're not afraid of a bee, it has no sting. Well, the Lord has removed the sting out of death. Then there's the confidence, because it says, I will fear no evil. Now, evil exists in the world. Evil will exist to the end time. You and I are going to face it at different times in life, but evils are there, but they cannot eternally harm the child of God, because we're going into the safety and the presence of the Lord our God. So when you come to the valley of the shadow of death, we can say, Lord, I fear no evil. In closing, I want to just think a moment or two about the soul and its shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He is the one that leads us through the valley. This is the shepherd's psalm, as you well know. And the theme from verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, continues right through the psalm and through verse number 4 that we're thinking about to this present time. Now, one thing we have to remember is that the eastern shepherd is not the same as our western shepherds. Our western shepherds, they drive the flock in front of them. They have sheep dogs that will drive the flock ahead. But the eastern shepherd was different because he is the one who goes ahead. And the sheep, they follow after him. And so our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can say of him, as it says in verse 2 and 3, he leadeth me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. So the Lord Jesus, he is the one who goes ahead, and we are to follow him. Now, he's given us an example, a perfect example, by his life. It tells us there that the Lord Jesus Christ knew no sin. He did no sin. In him was no sin. When the devil came, the devil had nothing in him, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the holy, harmless, spotless, undefiled Son of God. Jesus did not need to sin or to die, because he never sinned. But he died voluntarily for your sin and for my sin. And so therefore he became our great substitute sacrifice. But he left us this perfect example, and he tells us to follow me. But not only did he tell us to follow him, but he also goes ahead by his death, because we are not saved by the example of the Lord Jesus, even though it is a perfect example. Back to the Garden of Eden again, coats of skins, picturing the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the shedding of his blood. We're not saved by his example, but we're saved by his sacrifice. And he went ahead, and he died on the cross. He shed his precious blood that we would be reconciled to God. And my friend, without the shedding of blood, the Bible tells us, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without accepting the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, you can never have your sins dealt with. The Bible tells us that God, when you come to Christ and the blood of God's Son cleanseth us from all sin, when you come to Christ, God puts his sins behind his back. He buries them in the sea of his forgetfulness, and he blots them out as a thick cloud. So we can say in the little children's hymn, or chorus, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I wonder, my friend, have you followed the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and to save your soul? I have met many people in my experience in the ministry, and I've asked them that question, and they have said, well, that I've tried to live a good life. That's good. If everybody in the world lived a good life, this place would be a much better place to live in. But that's not the question. Have you personally asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come in and to cleanse your hearts from sin? Because nothing else can take the sin away but the blood and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing for the family would it be if somebody here today, through the sudden passing of our brother Howard, came to grips with where they stand before God and called upon the name of the Lord. I told the Bible class this morning that Howard is planning to go out with these folks here on Friday night at 6 o'clock. He was getting ready, shaving and so on, the bathroom. He fell. And he was unconscious when the paramedics arrived, and remained in a virtual coma until 7 o'clock this morning, when the Lord took him home. Now, Howard knew the Lord. Years and years ago, he committed his life to the Lord Jesus Christ and served the Lord right throughout his life. But if he had not been a Christian and he collapsed on Friday, he would not have had time or the ability to think about these things or to call upon the name of the Lord, because in the moment he fell until he died this morning, he was unconscious. And my friend, that happened to one of God's servants. If that were you, if that were you today, that you dropped, do you think you're going to have time for a deathbed conversion? You may never see tomorrow. Today you have. Tomorrow is dreamland. And we spoke to Howard on Wednesday night in fellowship at the prayer meeting. I never thought that's the last time I'm going to be able to speak to him. None of us knew that. And you know not what a day may bring forth, my friend. Make sure that you come to the shepherd of the sheep, because without him, you cannot be saved. You've also here in closing the rod and the staff. It says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Shepherd of Israel had a rod, a long staff, and he used it for several things. Number one, he used it to number the sheep. And he would use the rod just to number his sheep to make sure they're all there. And my friend, there's a hymn that we sing, "Counted In." I wonder today, are you counted into the flock of God? Are you saved by the grace of God? Are you a member of the family of God today? Ah, it's good to know that the Lord with his rod has counted us into the kingdom of God and saved our souls. Then also it was used in the naming of the sheep, because our Western shepherds, they just look at the sheep more or less as a flock. But the Eastern shepherd, he looks upon each sheep and he knows it by name. And I spoke to a pastor from Lebanon years ago who explained to me how that he spoke to some shepherds that he saw, and he talked to them and he asked them, "Sir, do you love your sheep?" And the shepherd said, "Love my sheep. I would die for my sheep," he said. Jesus Christ, do you love your sheep? He has died for his sheep. And he names them, and he brings them into the family and fold of God. You see, it's not for me to call myself a Christian. I can't just say, I'm going to be a Christian. God has to work in the heart. And it's the Lord who opens the door and brings you to know him as Savior. Also, not only numbered and named, but nourished. Because the shepherd, his task is to lead the sheep to the very best of food for them. Whether it be in the valley, whether it be in the mountaintop, whatever it may be, the shepherd leads them step by step, and thank God the Lord, he leads his people and he feeds them. It says, "Thou preparest a table before me," a table of sustenance, and God feeds us day by day with the word of the living God. And then he guides us, because he goes ahead and he leads, and he leads us, as the hymn says, all the way. My Savior leads me. And as the paraphrase says, through each perplexing path of life, the Lord is there. There are many hard things in life to face, but when you have the Lord with you each step of the way, he helps you. He brings you joy and he brings you peace in times of trouble. And then a protector too. He protects us. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And they are protected. Now the Eastern shepherd, he makes a fold for the sheep. It's a sort of a circular thing made of stones and so on, with only one door to it. And then on top of the wall, he puts all kinds of thorns, so that any wolf coming along or a lion wouldn't be able to get in. And then when he has the sheep into the fold in the evening, the shepherd, he lies across the door. And any wolf or lion that wants to get to the flock has first of all to meet the shepherd. And my friend, what a blessing it is that in life to know that the Lord Jesus Christ lies across the door of the sheepfold, and nothing can touch us without him allowing it to happen. He is there to protect us each step of the way. And what a blessing it is to know that he is there. And then, of course, he leads us eventually to the fold. Psalmist says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's why today we sorrow the loss of our brother, greatly beloved in our congregation. But we sorrow not as those that have no hope. I look down to the empty seat. But while that one's empty, there's one up in heaven that is filled, and he is there. My friend, let me ask you, on that day when the Lord calls you from this scene, will you be there? Will you be able to say with Henry Francis Light, I fear no foe, with thee at hand to bless. Ills have no weight and tears no bitterness. Where is death's sting? Where grave thy victory? I triumph still if thou abide with me. If there's someone here this morning and the Lord has been speaking to your heart and you're here not because you chose to be here, you're here because of the providence of God. He has brought you here. And if you're here today and the Lord has spoken to your heart and you know that it's not well with your soul, we'd be happy after the service to sit down with you and open the Word. We wouldn't embarrass you in any way. But my, we'd love to see you come to know our Savior and to trust his God. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the blessing of this shepherd's psalm. And we thank that every child of God can rejoice in its greatness and its goodness. But our Father, we know that there are some here who know not the Lord. We pray, O God, that thou would awaken them to flee from wrath to come and to call upon him, the Lord Jesus, while he is near. And Father, we pray today, not only will heaven rejoice by the presence of the redeemed soul of Howard Saunders, but will rejoice in the salvation of some poor soul here in this service today. O God, hear this our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing as our closing hymn number 671. The paraphrase, O God of Bethel, by whose hand thy people still are fed, who through this weary pilgrimage hast all our fathers led. 671 will stand to sing.